What's going on, everyone? You're listening to or watching Eminent Sports Talk Podcast. Crazy. We're kind of rebranding here. We know we're just a podcast platform, and now we're bringing it to YouTube.
Podcast.
For those of you who don't know, you might be new to our channel, maybe new to our podcast, but I'm Mark Morales. That's Nick Rivera over to my left. Welcome to this rebrand because, like I said before, we were just strictly a podcast platform, but now we're trying to do new things, Nick. We're trying to expand into the virtual world. Now, you know, everyone is doing these Zoom calls.
Expanding our horizons.
Zooms. Yeah, expanding our horizons. But with everyone Zooming nowadays with work, schooling, everything, I figured, why don't we hop on the trend and Zoom as well?
Let's Zoom, man. Are you ready?
I'm ready to Zoom. So with our inaugural Zoom episode of Eminent Sports Talk Podcast, we're going to talk about the Jamal Adams situation. And Nick, as you know,
favorite topic.
Jamal Adams and the New York Jets have been making headlines the past couple of days, about a week or two now. And this is nothing new. You know, Jamal Adams' name has been in the media for months now, dating back to this past NFL season where the trade rumors are flying. Jamal Adams was taking the Jets out of his Twitter and Instagram. That was a big storyline. But the main thing right now, Nick, is that Jamal Adams is not happy, and it appears that he does not want to be a New York Jet anymore.
I mean, who would want to be?
He has officially requested a trade away from the New York Jets and gave a list of teams, ironically, all playoff contenders and Super Bowl contenders of teams that he would want to get traded to. But Nick, you know, like, as a fan of the sport, and obviously you're a Giants fan, I'm a Jets fan, so we have different opinions, different views on the situation. As a football fan, do you, like, it's got to start getting tiring for you, because it's tiring for me of seeing these great players, Le'Veon Bell, another Jet, Jamal Adams, was Khalil Mack, can we throw Khalil Mack in that category of players who complain that they want more money before their contract is over and then force a trade? I know, what's his name, the cornerback from, he was on the Jaguars, now he's on the Rams, Ramsey. Can we throw Khalil Mack in that, or was that a totally different situation that the Raiders just didn't want to pay him?
I mean, he wanted to stay with the Raiders, but I mean, he did want an obscene amount of money, kind of did want to be the highest paid player at his position. I mean, granted, it was kind of deserved, but yeah, I guess you could throw him in there.
And Odell could be thrown in there as these.
Chill.
and basically, it's like the diva players, the great players, don't get me wrong, all pro players, potential Hall of Fame players, don't get me wrong, great, great talents. But, you know, they have a diva side. You could throw Antonio Brown in this situation too. You know, like these diva players who, you know, feel like they deserve more money than they're being paid and demand high contracts or trade me. That's basically what it's come down to in the NFL. And Nick, you and I have talked about in the past, you know, it's these owners that give in, that set the precedent for these guys to do it. And it basically okays the players to do it. Like, who was the first one a few years ago that really set the tone? I mean, Le'Veon Bell, I guess you could say, was one of the people who set the tone. He sat out for the entire year. Now you have players like Dalvin Cook, who I'm pretty sure he's the running back on the Vikings, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I saw an article a few weeks ago of him potentially sitting out if he doesn't get paid. We saw Christian McCaffrey just get paid, deservingly so, MVP caliber player, one of the best players in the league, but he doesn't complain and threaten to trade his, you know, I'm going to sit out or trade me or stuff like that. But, you know, these players have set the precedent in the past, and the owners give in, and we've spoke about that.
Yeah, it kind of all started, I guess you could say, the NBA, LeBron, them, those kind of players, they kind of set the standard in, hey, taking control of their own career and not playing for these teams their whole career, giving them team-friendly deals. They're like, hey, we're the players who are the ones who are going out there doing all these things. Why aren't we the ones in control of everything? But, I mean, it's kind of different for every sport, football especially, because it's a whole team sport. And it's always next guy up. There's always people getting hurt. And one guy, with the exception of maybe the quarterback, doesn't really make that huge of a difference. For the example, Jamal Adams, you have this guy who's a top five safety in the league. And I feel like with or without him, the Jets would kind of be in a similar, if not the same position.
Yeah, and exactly.
It's kind of hard. I mean, it's not fair to the players that they chose this sport, they're professional athlete in this sport, but I mean, that's just kind of the way it goes. And it's going to continue on this trend because it seems like the owners are just giving, not necessarily giving in, but they're just like caving. Like we're on the Cowboys, like Zeke, they really didn't need to pay him.
What
was going to happen? I guess they were in the mindset that, hey, oh, we're a Super Bowl contending team. I think they were the only ones that thought that, but hey, so they're like, oh, we have to pay Zeke. We have to get him in the building right now. Didn't really make a difference. And they're like paying all these people. And now you got Dak is like, and when you do that, you kind of create a thing. Dak's like, I'm kind of the quarterback playing on a fourth round draft pick salary here. And I'm the quarterback of the Cowboys. Like, what's
and
going
I saw
on
Zeke
here?
Get paid. I saw Amari Cooper get paid. When am I going to get paid?
Yeah. And then boom. And then didn't he just sign like a $32, $31 million tender?
I believe so, but it's not like a long-term deal. I think it was like a tag or something just to get something. But I mean, I think it was 31 and a half mil. I could be wrong, but it was definitely between 30 and 32, like what you were saying. But nonetheless, it's still a good, pretty big chunk of change for someone playing a kid's game, you know?
Yeah, like Le'Veon, he sat out. He didn't get the money or the longevity of the deal he wanted. But hey, he still got, what, 30 mil?
Yeah, he still got a lot of money.
Like, so until teams, like, stop not necessarily pandering, but allowing these players to do this, I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon. I feel like it's just going to get worse and worse and worse.
Absolutely. And, you know, I understand if a player feels like they deserve a pay raise and they're going into their final year of their contract, right? Like, if Jamal Adams was doing everything he's doing now, exactly a year from now, when he has one more year left on his contract, all right, I kind of understand you want a contract extension, and especially for football, because football is the most dangerous sport out of all the four major U.S. sports. And, you know, every time you step in the field, it could be the last time you ever step in the field. Look at Shazier from the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, he was an up-and-coming linebacker. One bad play, one awkward tackle, and his whole career was shot, and he had his life threatened. He was possibly never able to walk again. So, I mean, I understand these players want to have security in their pockets and want to have security, you know, on and off the field and everything. I totally, totally understand that, especially when you're a top-tier player and you're getting paid as like a rookie almost still. But at the end of the day, Jamal Adams has two more years on his contract. So why is he complaining now? No one tied his arm 2 years ago to sign that four-year deal. No one said, hey, Jamal, if you don't sign this contract, you're never going to play football. Like, I mean, yeah, he had a sign to play, but you know what I mean? Like, no one told him to sign for a four-year deal. If he felt like he could potentially get a pay raise 2-3 years later, why not sign a shorter? Why not try to negotiate and say, you know, I don't want to be locked in for 4 years on my rookie deal? Because I personally feel with my work ethic and knowing myself, I'm going to outperform that contract way before it's over. So why don't we sign a shorter deal? That way, when I do outperform the contract, you know, it's nothing out of the ordinary. Because I think the biggest issue here with Jamal is that, yes, you know, you said he's a top five safety in the game. And I would even say he's arguably the best safety in all of football right now.
Here we go.
But, you know, as a 24-year-old, he has two more years on his rookie deal. Like, I just don't see why he feels like he needs to get paid right now. And what's ironic, Nick, and the reason why it's not about the money anymore with Jamal Adams and it's about him not wanting to be here is because it was reported, I believe it was Adam Schefter who reported this, or I could be wrong, but somebody that has the connections in the NFL, I saw on Twitter, apparently he's willing to wait for his contract extension for certain teams he's willing to be traded to. Huh? So, Jamal, if you're willing to wait for your contract extension, but let's just say the Cowboys, for example, why do you need to get paid right now with the Jets? And I get the Jets are not in the same atmosphere as the Cowboys. I get the Cowboys are better. But if you're willing to wait for certain teams, why do you need the money right now from the Jets? And, like, I don't get it. Everyone's painting the Jets to be a bad guy. Oh, the Jets organization is inept. Once again, the Jets can't do anything right. And once again, it's a circus down in Jersey. I really don't think the Jets are in the wrong here, Nick. Can you please try to make sense of this? Jamal has two more years under his contract. Joe Douglas has done nothing wrong so far in his tenure as a GM of the Jets. And I'm not even counting some of the moves he did last year because he didn't really get a full year under his belt to be the GM. So starting from this offseason on, it's all Joe Douglas. And from this offseason on, the draft, the free agents, everything he's done has been great. There's not been one negative move, Nick. So you can't really blame the Jets and Joe Douglas. It's Jamal wanting more money. 2 years before he's able to have a contract. And Nick, the Jets could franchise him after his contract. So technically, the Jets could control him for 3 more years. So why? And if he's willing to wait for money for, let's just say, the Cowboys or other teams, why does he need the money right now from the Jets? And now the Jets are inept because they don't want to pay him 2 years early?
Because everyone's enamored with the big-time teams. Everyone thinks we're playing in, you know, 1953 where, you know, like, I think the whole thing of the small market team or the allure of certain teams is kind of vanished now. Like, I feel like every team, if you go there and you're a good player, you have the same exposure. I mean, granted, the Cowboy, you're going to be on more nationally televised games, et cetera.
And that's his hometown team, too. So, you know, he might have a little biased feeling towards them.
But, I mean, if you're a good player, I feel like Jamal, who that follows football doesn't know who Jamal Adams is.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's funny, too, that you say that, Nick? I'm sorry to cut you off, but what's funny is that...
Always doing that. Mad rude.
I feel like no one was really talking about Jamal before the contract negotiations. Like, I don't know about you, but, like, all of a sudden, after he made this complaining that he wants to get paid, all of a sudden I'm seeing comparisons with J.J. Watt. Oh, he's the first player since J.J. Watt to record this amount of tackles, this amount of sacks before the age of 25. But where was all this before he started complaining? Again, he's one of the best safeties, if arguably the best, but all of a sudden now he's this Tom Brady. Now he's this top-tier player in the league. Not saying he's not. He deserves all of it. He's a great player, a lot of talent. But, you know, it's kind of a little weird how all of a sudden the Jets are inept. Jamal Adams is the first player since J.J. Watt. He's a great talent, all this and that. Now he's getting respect after he's causing a scene and making the Jets look like the bad guy, when really, honestly, I think Jamal looks more like the bad guy than the Jets.
Yeah, like – I don't know. This the whole safety position is very hit or miss. Like, if you go through the teams and take their top safety away or add a top safety, like, unless you're a really good team or unless you're right there, adding or taking away a safety isn't really necessarily going to do anything. Like, look at Landon Collins. He was on the horrible Giants defense. He leaves. Giants are still just as bad. He goes to the Redskins, does not improve their defense or secondary whatsoever. You look at the Chiefs, they already had a really good defense. You add Honey Badger. Like, I feel like...
I mean, they did win the Super Bowl.
They did win the Super Bowl, but they were already there.
Mm-hmm.
They could have won it with or without him.
That's fair.
Time and time. Who's... I don't know how I'm blanking on his name. The Seahawks, who he's... He got his, like, leg blown out. He was trying to go to
Earl
Cowboys.
Thomas?
Earl Thomas, yeah. Look at them. Were the Seahawks really that much worse off without him for the rest of the season? I feel like they were the same kind of team. And time and time again, like, unless you're a top-level team, you're right there. Adding a high-profile safety, I feel like, is not going to move the needle that much.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason
he wants
to go to the Cowboys is because they're a team that, I mean, they're really good. I don't think they're that close as other people think they are. But, I mean, hey, they're a better team right now than the Jets. And it's funny because –
And they were his favorite team growing up.
There you go. Everyone wants to be the highest paid player in the league and be on the best team in the league. It kind of blows my mind. Like, you want the Jets to be good, let them sit out – or not sit out. Let them run your contract through its course so they're not salary struck.
Yep.
And hey, they could slowly build. And by the time your contract is ready to get renewed, you got a good team. Boom, there you go. There's your money. You get both. But everyone wants both right now, right then and there.
Yeah.
It's kind of mind-boggling. Everyone, highest paid, best team.
Yeah, it makes no sense because you're right, man. Like, safeties are not the most important position on the football field. You could say that offensive line is probably the most important position before quarterback. Obviously, you need a quarterback to win, but if your quarterback – I mean, we've had these discussions. If your quarterback doesn't have time to throw, it doesn't matter who's back there. You're not getting the ball to your wide receiver or to your receiver or anyone. But, like for the Jets, like, I'm seeing stats all over Twitter that, you know, the Jets are this much better with Jamal Adams on the field as opposed to not having him on the field. But, you know, the Jets with Jamal Adams last year, you take Sam Darnold out of the equation, they were what last year? 1-7, 1-6 to start the season before Darnold came back?
I remember.
Now you throw Darnold in the mix and they win, what, 7 out of their last 8 games? So, what am I missing here? Jamal Adams played all season and the Jets were still 1-7 before Darnold came back from mono. So, like, if we're going to lose with Jamal Adams, I will be glad to lose without him, especially with the way that he's acting right now and everything. And, Nick, you know what? Like, if he you said he wants to be the highest paid safety. That's what he wants. That's the contract he wants. He doesn't care where he gets it, what team he gets it from. That's what he wants, right? But when you look at it, for me, if I'm a general manager, Nick, and I'm going to pay someone, be the highest paid player on my team, because right now CJ Mosley is the highest paid Jet, and I don't know exactly what he's making. I think he's making like 13 mil or something like that. But Jamal Adams wants to be the highest paid safety, which would in turn make him the highest paid Jet. Now, if I'm the general manager of any team, if I'm going to make you the highest paid player on my team, and you're going to be the captain of my team and wear the C on your chest, like Jamal Adams does right now, he wears the C on his chest. You know, you have to be a great leader on and off the court or the field in football terms. You have to be a great leader on and off the field, in and out of the locker room, and during the losing times, not just during the winning times. And I'm going to give you some examples of Jamal Adams not being a good leader, man, not being a good soldier. He was drafted 6th overall in 2017 by the New York Jets. And yet you could say, well, the Jets miss on picks all the time. And the one time they hit a home run on a draft pick, they're willing to mess it up and let him walk away. But yes, he's a great talent, but he hasn't been a great soldier for the Jets, Nick. And I don't see why no one else sees this. Like, this has like the Odell Beckham Jr. saga written all over it. You know, great talent, was one of the best wide receivers in the game, but the Giants had to let him go because he was a troublemaker in the locker room. He was a distraction to the team. And Jamal Adams, I mean, he's not on the same level as Odell, talent-wise and distraction-wise, but, I mean, he's causing issues, man. I'm going to take you back to 2018. In 2018,
take me back.
Jamal Adams liked a tweet on social media, and mind you, this was in 2018, so the tweet was something like, oh, I can't wait to see you on the Cowboys in 2020. He liked the tweet. If I'm going to make you the highest paid player, why are you liking tweets on social media talking about you playing for other teams when your contract is up? That doesn't look like a leader to me. That doesn't look like a captain. And I'm going to take you back to last season, after Darnold was lost for the first whatever weeks of mono, and after they fell to the Cleveland Browns when Trevor Siemian got his leg ripped off by Myles Garrett. So they fall to 0-2 to start the 2019 season, right? Jamal Adams once again, immaturely, took his frustration to social media, deleted the Jets out of his Twitter and Instagram bio. How are you a captain of my football team? How are you want to be the highest paid player, but you fall 0-2? Mind you, your starting quarterback is out due to mono, and your backup just got his leg exploded off because of a dirty hit. How are you, like, what is there to be angry about? You're going into week 3 with your third string quarterback who's never supposed to see the field ever. Of course you're not going to do well. But if you're this great talent, if you're this great player, you want to be the highest paid safety in football, you want to be the highest paid Jet, how come you're not helping us win? And I get, you know, he can't play quarterback. Jamal Adams can't throw the ball into the end zone. You know, I get that. I get there's only so much he can do. But you can stop the other team from scoring. You can help your team have a chance. And yes, he's done that and everything. I totally understand that. But again, if you want to be the highest paid player, you need to be a great leader. And for those two examples, I'm sorry. Jamal's not a great leader, man. And there's also some other things too. You know, going back to last season, Jamal Adams' name was coming up in trade talks. You know, I remember that. I remember we spoke about that. That was a big hot topic because Jamal Adams got his feelings hurt. Because Joe Douglas was answering phone calls. Hello, part of your job as a GM is to answer phone calls. Just because he was fielding calls for you doesn't mean he was going to, like, it wasn't 100% fact that, okay, I'm taking calls, I'm going to trade you. That's not how it works. And people want to say the Jets are inept, the organization is a clown show, that's a circus. I'm sorry, Joe Douglas has done nothing wrong. Part of being a competent GM is to answer phone calls when other GMs call about your players. What's so wrong about that? He was feeling out the market to see what he could get. There's nothing wrong with that. But Jamal Adams got his feelings hurt and all this and that. And then he also, he let it, like, when that was becoming a thing, he let his frustration be known to the media. And I'm pulling up the article now. An article on NFL.com regarding the Joe Douglas taking calls on him for trade talks this past season. Jamal Adams stood in front of the press and talked about his frustration. Quote, I didn't take that lightly. Quote, it definitely hurt me. You know what I mean? I hold myself at a high level, you know. The Rams, they don't take calls on Aaron Donald. The Patriots don't take calls on Tom Brady. That's where I hold myself. And you know what? I'm sorry, Jamal Adams. You're not Aaron Donald. You're definitely not Tom Brady. So slow your roll just a little bit. You're heading into year 3. Yes, you're arguably one of the best safeties in the league, but Let's slow the roll a little bit. Aaron Donald could impact the game a lot more than you can. And obviously, we all know Tom Brady's, whether you like him, hate him, he's arguably the best quarterback in NFL history. So slow, pump the brakes a little bit, Jamal Adams. But again, what did Joe Douglas do wrong, Nick? He was doing what GMs are supposed to do. Take calls. You're interested in my players? Let me know what you want at least to give to him. Doesn't mean I'm going to trade him to you, but I'm curious to see what the package looks like. But, you know, the Jets are inept. The Jets are a clown show. It's a circus. Joe Douglas has done nothing wrong. I don't get it. Please, can you make sense of this, Nick?
Unfortunately, I can't. My favorite thing about sports in the modern world is the introduction of social media. It's pretty hilarious. Like, everyone knows if you're a sports athlete, you know, on Twitter, people could see your likes. And, like, it's so soft to go and like other people's things. Like, you know, people are going to look into it, and it's going to be this whole media circus. People are going to ask questions about it. If you got an issue, you got something, just say it. Instead, we have to do this whole dance around, this whole cryptic, oh, you like this tweet. So what does that mean? And then, oh, I don't know. That was my old me. This is a new me. And yeah, then taking out
paid Jet.
And taking out the Jets in your bio. Like, come on, what are we, 13?
That's what you do when you break up with your girlfriend or boyfriend. You take their name out of your bio. You take, like, the date with the little heart out of your bio. Come on, man.
Like, that's so crazy. And you just can't, like, make sense of it. Like, this whole – in the NFL, it started with the NBA. And the NBA is different. You have five people on the court. One guy could change the whole aspect. When you're doing 11-on-11, I mean, it's a lot different. And Jamal Adams, I don't know, man. It's looking every day like he's further and further away from signing or continuing to stay with the Jets. And I mean, hey, if I'm Joe Douglas and you want to give me a King's ransom, I mean, I'm taking it. Like a Herschel Walker deal with the Cowboys. They literally built a dynasty just on trading one guy because the Vikings wanted to give their whole team away in every draft pick.
Yep, I am so willing to trade Jamal. Again, I'm not looking to trade him for one first-round pick. I'm not looking to trade him for two first-round picks. He wants out. He doesn't want to be here. If we're trading him to the team of his choice, I better get picks. I better get players that can play right now. I want players who are going to help Sam Darnold now. I don't want picks 3 years from now. If you want to leave, if we have two, like I said, basically three more years of control due to the third, well, after his contract, they could franchise tag him. They basically have three more years of control. I better be getting players to play now. I don't want a 2024 first round pick. You want to go to the Cowboys? Who's that first round pick? Who's that first round wide receiver that the Cowboys just drafted?
CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb. You want Jamal Adams? Give me CeeDee Lamb in a first rounder. You want him that bad? You guys want to be together so bad, you give me CeeDee Lamb in a first rounder. You have Jamal Adams. You give us a weapon and another pick, I'll ship him off to you. Goodbye. I don't need this distraction in my locker room. And going back to last week, Nick, when all this started, Jamal Adams started this drama again by commenting on a social media post. Again, because today's athlete, I guess when you're unhappy, you take to social media like we're in middle school. But that's what today's athlete does for some reason.
You got it. But it's the only way.
In a response to an Instagram post, Jamal Adams wrote, quote, maybe it's time to move on in regards to the contract negotiations.
Oh, my God.
You didn't see that?
No.
He commented, it was like last Monday. So it was last week, early in the week. I believe it was a Monday. There was comments flying. I don't know what the original post was, but he wrote, quote, maybe it's time to move on in regards to the contract negotiations. And then hours later, he officially requested the trade from the New York Jets. And then that's when ESPN's Adam Schefter reported that Adams would welcome a trade to the Baltimore Ravens, Dallas Cowboys, Houston Texans, Kansas City Chiefs, Philadelphia Eagles, San Francisco 49ers, Seattle Seahawks. And then on Friday, this past Friday, he added the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to the list, conveniently. And why? I would love to reunite with Todd Bowles. You didn't like Todd Bowles when he was here. Remember his last year as a head coach when you guys were losing? And you said in front of the media, I'm tired of losing. I'm not a loser. I'm sick of it. Now all of a sudden you love Todd Bowles. You didn't love him back in the day. But now, oh, Tom Brady's on the team. Gronk's on the team. Oh, I would love to reunite with Todd Bowles, man. I would love to go play for the Buccaneers. No, you want to go play with Tom Brady because it's an easy way to win. Because you don't want to go to Todd Bowles. If you loved him so much, you wouldn't have thrown him under the bus 3 years ago.
I want to go to the top 10 teams in the league and no one else.
Isn't it funny that every single team either won the Super Bowl, either played in the Super Bowl, or was in the playoffs? Funny. Very or convenient. And in the Tampa Bay's case, has the greatest quarterback of all time now. Yeah, give me a break.
Got to hop on that bandwagon while it's hot, man. You don't want to get left behind.
And what blows my mind too, Nick, is that what I said in the beginning of the pod or of the video, he's willing to wait for other teams. He's willing to wait for the contract extension with other teams. So why do you need the money right now? Why are you willing to destroy the salary cap for the Jets right now? Look, Sam Darnold's eventually going to need a new contract, right? And I've spoken about this to a couple of my friends. Nick, the quarterback market is inflating. You know, these players who don't deserve these big contracts are getting big contracts. Kirk Cousins, Brock Osweiler. You know, these guys are making crazy money.
Shots fired.
Matt Stafford, I'm not taking anything away from him. Phenomenal quarterback, but I don't think he's worth being one of the top paid quarterbacks in the league. And I remember when he first got his contract, he was like the highest paid quarterback. But it seems like every single time a quarterback gets a new contract now, it breaks the bank of the next one. Like it's the now I'm the highest paid quarterback. And then a year from now, someone else gets a new contract. All right, now I'm the highest paid quarterback. When is this market going to reset? So Sam Darnold's eventually going to need a new contract. And, you know, and apparently you don't need to be great to get millions and millions of dollars to be quarterback anymore. So let's just say Darnold takes a next step and is on the same level as like a, you know, middle of the pack team, you know, wild card fighting for playoff spots and becomes a regular playoff team. What is he going to make? $100 million? Like eventually Sam Darnold, like I said, he's going to need a contract and the money keeps going up and up. So why am I going to pay Jamal Adams 2 years, basically 3 years early now, and not be able to sign Sam Darnold later? You know what I mean? He might not be able to sign pieces to help him on the offensive end. He might not be able to sign certain offensive linemen, certain wide receivers that become available. But if they wait, you know, Joe Douglas has a plan. And if he didn't pay Jamal Adams now, it's because it's not part of the plan right now. And look, Joe Douglas said back in February, and I have no problem with him saying this, quote, we want Jamal to be a Jet for life. Something along the lines of like, we want him to be a Jet for life. I have no problem with that. Jamal, we want you here. He basically said, we want you here, but it's not your time yet. You got to wait. You got to be patient. And again, totally understand the very next play could be your last in the NFL. Totally get that. But you signed a four-year contract, man. You got to at least honor 3 out of the 4 years. It's not out of the ordinary for a player to get a contract extension heading into the final year of their deal, regardless of how long it is. But you're asking 2 years early, man. You're causing all this drama. And then, you know, he's talking about the Jets as if he's not a member of the team anymore. I see these quotes on Twitter and on social media of him talking about the Jets as if he's not on the team anymore, Nick. And there was a video over the weekend of him in Dallas, and I believe he was in Dallas, and he was driving a car through a parking lot, and a fan was recording and said, hey, Jamal Adams, when are we going to see you in Dallas, man? Are you coming to Dallas? And he goes, I'm trying, man, I'm trying. You're not my leader. You're not my captain of my football team. You want to be the highest paid Jet. You want to wear the C and represent the New York Jets and want to be the highest paid Jet, highest paid safety. You got to be a better leader than that. You know, he's still he's still obligated to play for the Jets. He's still under contract with the Jets for 2 more years, and he's already talking as if he's not on the team anymore. Goodbye. I have no problem getting rid of him. Yes, he's one of the best safeties, but like we both agree, Nick, safety is not the most important position on the football field. The Jets have been horrible with him. We can be horrible without him. I don't care how the Jets do with him on the field as opposed to off the field. I do not care. He will become a cancer in the locker room. He will continue to cause problems as long as he's here. And look, I don't think the Jets will trade him unless they get a king's ransom for him. If they don't get a king's ransom, do not trade him. They don't have to. They don't have to. If he wants to sit out and not play, that's his problem. At the end of the day, it's only going to hurt him. When have these players sat out and actually worked in their favor? We both just said Le'Veon Bell sat out a full year, and it didn't really work in his favor. Yes, he got a lot of money, but was it the money he wanted originally? No. Was it the years that he wanted? No. So history has shown that this sitting out does not help in the player's favor. So if he wants to sit out, let him. It's only going to hurt him. And I'm sorry, Nick. I'm really sorry. The Jets are not in the wrong here. They're not. They're not an inept organization in this instance. They did nothing wrong. Yes, I'm not putting the sins of the past regimes on Joe Douglas. That's not fair to him. So far, everything he's done has been great. I have not one negative thing about him so far. I have not one negative thing to say about him. But all of a sudden, because Jamal's unhappy, it falls on Joe Douglas's lap, and it's the Jets' fault. They're a circus. They're a clown show. You know, everyone's slandering the Jets now because Jamal Adams is causing all this trouble. Why is it never the player's fault? Why is it always the organization's fault? You know, I'm sorry, man. Jamal Adams has never been a good soldier for the Jets to begin with. He whines and complains when they don't win, but when they do start winning, he doesn't say a word. You notice when they were 1-7, all this crying complaining last year because his names are being brought up in trade rumors, you know, a couple years prior, sick of losing, but they didn't have a quarterback. Sam Darnold comes in, they go 7-8 in their final whatever, or 7-1 in their, over their final 8 games, something like that, something crazy. I'm forgetting the exact like numbers here, but they finished 7-9 after starting 1-7. They started 1-7 because they didn't have Sam Darnold, but they had Jamal Adams. So what does that tell you? You need a quarterback to win. You don't need a safety to win. I'm sorry, man. And I know a lot of people might not agree with me. A lot of people are saying that the Jets should pay him, respect him. You know, he's outplayed his contract. I'm sorry. You're not going into the final year of your deal. I don't see why the Jets are in the wrong here. And this just pisses me off, man, because, yes, the Jets have done things in the past that deserve to be that they deserve the blame for. But this is not their fault. They're not an inept organization because they don't want to pay Jamal Adams right now. They have 2 more years under contract. And they could also franchise tag him for the 3rd year. They have 3 more years potentially of control with him. I'm sorry, man. He does not need to get paid right now. And that's going to end up screwing the Jets cap-wise for the next couple of years if they do this right now. But like I said, if a team is willing to give me a King's ransom for him, goodbye. See ya.
Yeah, my favorite is, oh, I can't. I hate losing. I'm not a loser. But I'm willing to wait to get paid. So basically, I'll lose, but only if I'm paid well. I don't mind losing as long as I'm paid well. Like, that's just kind of crazy. And like you said, like, if I'm the Jets, I let him sit out. What's going to happen?
What's going to hurt?
Nothing's going to happen. Hey, maybe it'll help you get another top draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, and that's – I'm not looking to get back in the lottery next year. You know, I or whatever, the top 10 pick.
You'll
I don't
be there. Don't worry.
But like, I do expect the Jets to do pretty well next year with or without Jamal Adams. And it's funny, man. It's really funny. The 1 year that the Jets have a legitimate chance to potentially be decent, now all of a sudden he doesn't want to play for them. He played 3 years of garbage football with them. Not saying he played bad, but the Jets obviously were not a really good football team since he's been a New York Jet since 2017. But the 1 year that they actually have a chance to make some noise, now all of a sudden he wants out. It's disappointing, man, because – you know, New York's been through a lot the past couple of years. You got Porzingis wanting out, OBJ leaving. And if you're a Knicks fan, obviously Kyrie and KD choosing the Nets over the Knicks. You have the Yankees, obviously, everything they've gone through the past few years of these high expectations and not getting over the hump to win. And obviously they had to fight through a cheating Astros team and a cheating Red Sox team. But you have the Mets who just can't get it together. You have the Rangers and the Islanders who just haven't won in forever. You have the Giants who, you know, starting to look like the Jets a little bit with some of these clown things that's going on over there.
Wow, but, that hurt me.
But, I mean, just New York sports in general just has not caught a break in years. And you know, even for the Nets, man, you like they had all these high expectations. And Kyrie Irving only plays, what, 20 games? Causes all this drama of what's going on the past couple of weeks with the NBA. And it just hasn't been a smooth start to the careers for KD and Kyrie for the Brooklyn Nets, as a lot of fans probably thought. But, you know, just New York sports, man, has been just taking hit after hit after hit the past couple of years. And just like, this just is just another example of New York just can't catch a break. But I'm sorry, in this particular instance, it's not the team's fault. You want to blame the Giants for the way that how they handled OBJ, how they never really held him accountable? Sure. You want to hold the Knicks? You want to blame the Knicks for the whole KP thing of how him wanting out? Sure, go for it. But I'm sorry, man. This is not the Jets' fault with Jamal Adams wanting out. And I will say that to the day I die, whether he stays a Jet for life or ends up getting traded and going elsewhere. This is not the Jets' fault. It's really not.
I mean, hey, if I'm the Jets, I think I take the Giants' approach. OBJ wanted to trade so bad. Or no, not necessarily he didn't want to trade, but hey, he's causing all these issues. All right, see you later. Send him to the Browns. Look at him now. Bottom yeah. barrel wide receiver. Got what, like 1-2 touchdowns?
Definitely wasn't putting up the same numbers he was. We were close. Big Blue.
So if I'm the Jets, all right, you want to get traded so bad? I'll see you later. I send him to the Raiders. Send him somewhere. All right, you want to get traded so bad? All right, let's do it.
Send him to the Dolphins.
Send him to the Dolphins. Let's see how well it is down there. I don't know. I don't know why it'll never make sense to me why a team will send a player to the team that they want to go to. And it only helps, like, unless they're really sending you a lot of assets and it helps you too. Like, I don't know, man. Like, OBJ wants to go to a winner. All right, here you go. He was so excited to be on the Browns because, you know, the hype train.
Baker Mayfield, my best friend from college, Jarvis Landry. They get, I know Kareem Hunt, all that, the baggage that comes in him, but just his talent alone is one of the best running backs in football, and just talent. Yes, as a human being, he's a disgusting human being, but as a football player, he's a great rider, he's a great running back. So, I mean, yeah, you know, he came into that situation thinking that they had a shot, and it backfired big time.
And now he wants out of Cleveland. Shocker.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing with Jamal. If he were to go to the Cowboys and the Cowboys don't make a playoff run, it's just going to be rinse and repeat.
Yep.
And what's players to say he'll be never happy.
Yep. And exactly. What's to say he's not going to be happy? Let's just say he gets traded to the Chiefs. And let's just say the Chiefs aren't that good. Patrick Mahomes, you know, suffers an injury, he's out for the year. Instead of, you know, they miss the playoffs. How do you know he's not going to be unhappy? How does the team know that like, regardless of where he gets traded to, how does that team know that he's not going to bring the baggage with him? How do they know that he's not going to cause drama and cause problems in their locker room? Because he's causing problems here. You know, a troublemaker is a troublemaker. It doesn't matter where they go. OBJ was a troublemaker in New York. And what happened? He becomes a distraction as a troublemaker out in Cleveland. Doesn't matter where you are. You know, if that's who you are, that's who you are. A change of scenery is not really going to change that.
And shockingly, it seems like rinse and repeat. We've gone down this with numerous players, numerous teams through different generation of the game. But hey, teams are like, no, I can change him. Once we get him here, it'll be different.
Yep.
And it's never different. So I'm kind of looking forward to see where this goes.
Me too, man.
I think the Jets, I don't think they're going to trade him anytime soon. I don't think the Cowboys, they like to move in slow motion with all their transactions. So unless it's, you know, Zeke, then all of a sudden we have to make moves right then and there. But yeah. Otherwise, they like to take the slow approach. So I don't think he's going to be going anytime soon, especially with the way all the different seasons, especially football, is handling. Are they even in training camps yet?
Due to COVID and all that?
Yeah.
I know some of the coaches have, like, reported for work and stuff, and, like, the GMs and stuff, but I don't think the players have yet.
Yeah, especially with all this new added element of everything, I highly doubt any moves are going to be made anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, man, like, no, I agree 100%. And I don't think – I personally don't think Jamal's going to be traded soon. And I don't think that Joe Douglas is going to just trade him just to trade him. I think that Joe Douglas is willing to play this out. And let's see what happens with Jamal. Let's see if there even is a football season, because still up in the air due to COVID. No one really knows what's going to happen. I know some things already locally where I'm from. Some things have been canceled. That's usually in September, October. Some of those events have been canceled already. So we'll see what ends up happening with the NFL. If they end up getting to play, are they going to play in a bubble like the NBA and MLS is doing? Are they going to be able to play with no fans the way MLB's getting ready to play? So it's still up in the air, but I truly think that Joe Douglas is going to play this out. Let's see what happens. If a team is willing to call me tomorrow and offer me a arm and a leg for him, that's fine. I think if a situation like that occurs where a team is willing to give up a massive return for him, then I think that could be done very quickly. But if I don't think Joe Douglas is just going to trade him just to trade him. You know what I mean? Like, I think that he's willing to wait. He's willing to let this play out. If Jamal Adams wants to sit out, let him sit out. If he wants to play, let him play. But if a team is willing to give an arm and a leg tomorrow, I think it'll get done. But my gut is telling me that unless that happens, Joe Douglas is going to let this play out until the season, see how it progresses, try to negotiate a contract with them when it's time to do so. But that's just my gut feeling, man. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon unless the team is willing to make moves right now and willing to give up a lot. But nah, I think this is going to be a long process, man, a long, annoying, drama-filled process.
Hey, the Giants had to deal with an OBJ. Now you're up.
Yeah.
Aren't you excited? Hopefully you'll get your own boat picture.
Yeah, right? Now, let's try to – based on the teams that Adam Schefter reported, what do you think would be the most likely scenario for Jamal Adams if he were to get traded, regardless of when it happens, regardless of what the package deal is in return? Out of those teams, let me just pull it up real quick so we have them again.
You said Ravens, Chiefs, Bucks. See.
So it was.
I don't remember.
It was. Where is it?
Sky right now. Quacking.
I know I am. For some reason, I got the wrong article up.
Nice.
All right. So the teams that Adam Schefter reported that Jamal Adams was interested in were the Baltimore Ravens, the mm-hmm. Cowboys, the Texans, Chiefs, Eagles, 49ers, Seahawks, and Bucks. So out of those teams, what teams do you think have the best chance at acquiring Jamal Adams based on players that they have on their roster and stuff like that? Because, again, I'm only trading him if I get players that could play right now. So not including picks, just based on players that could come back to the Jets, what mm-hmm. team do you think is the likely scenario that works for both sides?
The likely scenario. I'm trying to think of who has the assets versus who would actually do it.
Yeah.
I don't think the Ravens would do it because their defense is pretty solid. The Chiefs definitely aren't going to do it because they have Matthew.
And they just won the Super Bowl, so.
Yeah, that's no shot. Texans, I don't think so. Cause
they got rid of DeAndre Hopkins, right? And, like, I was about to say, I feel like they're a wild card because, like, their coach is, like, the GM, so, like, who really knows, like, what's his mindset? He's, like, a wild card.
I feel like if anybody, it'd be one, the Eagles, because they just like doing random moves. And, like, I don't know, like, a lot of their moves they've made recently, like, I feel like they just do them just for the sake of doing them. And it all stems back to, you remember when they had Chip Kelly and they were the dream team? And ever since that iteration of the Eagles, I feel like they just make random moves all the time. But this is going to be random, but I feel like the Seahawks, like after the whole Earl Thomas thing, I feel like they're going to want to kind of replace that. And they always like having a strong secondary and safety presence. So I feel like if anyone was going to do it, they may not make sense for them. Just, I feel like they don't want to give away a whole lot of pieces, mm-hmm. but I feel like it would make sense for them, especially like with that whole debacle going down. I mean, it might not work. They might not want to deal with a whole diva-ish safety after they got rid of Earl Thomas and that whole fiasco went down. So, but I feel like I guess all those teams don't really need to make moves like that for a safety.
I know.
So I feel like none of that is going to happen.
For me, like, I think the only two teams that have a realistic shot would be the Cowboys, because there's been interest for a while now between mm-hmm. both parties. The Cowboys do have pieces. I mean, they just signed Amari Cooper to that contract. So, like, do they really need CeeDee Lamb? And I'm not too sure if you're allowed to trade players. Like, I don't know if you have to wait a certain amount of days or they have to play a certain amount of games before they're eligible to be traded, like newly drafted players. I'm not too sure how that works. But if they're able to trade CeeDee Lamb, for example, that's his name, right? CeeDee Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Then, I mean, that I could see it working there, because Jamal has expressed a lot of interest in playing for the Cowboys, and it seems like the Cowboys are all set on the offensive end, regardless how you feel of Dak Prescott, if he's an elite QB or not. But I feel like they definitely would need some defensive help, and Jamal Adams obviously plays more than just safety. That's one of the biggest reasons why he feels like he deserves to be one of the highest paid players on the Jets. So there's a lot of interest there, and I think another team, honestly, I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers might have some interest, just because of the fact that, like, they're in this, you know, rebuilding phase, I guess you could say, this rebranding phase. You bring in Tom Brady, you bring in Gronk, you have Todd Bowles, and Jamal Adams have history with Todd Bowles already. So why not bring in another big name player and add him to this team of a big name players? You know what I mean? Like, I could just see the Buccaneers just going all in mm-hmm. and just doing whatever they can just to get as many stars on the team to try to just catch lightning in a bottle, for example. So I think the only two teams that have a realistic chance of doing this, just based on the pieces that they have, because, again, I'm doing this based on getting back players who can play right now, and as opposed to waiting for draft picks. So I think the Cowboys and the Bucks are the only two realistic teams here, because I agree with you, man. I don't think the Ravens are going to make any – like, their defense is already pretty good. And pretty much if – what's his name? Lamar Jackson just played the way he played in the regular season, they would have been fine in the playoffs. The Kansas City Chiefs obviously just won the Super Bowl, so why are they going to give up all these players for one player who they didn't really even need last year? So, like, that doesn't make any sense to me. The Eagles, you know, I agree to what you said. Seahawks, you know, I do agree, but, again, you know, they just got over the Earl Thomas stuff. The 49ers, I don't know, man, because, like, they were just in the Super Bowl. And, I mean, I don't know. I mean, they were going up against arguably one of the best quarterbacks of our generation. So, like, is their defense really that bad, or did you just go up against a really good quarterback? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the only wild card really is the Houston Texans, because who knows what Bill O'Brien is thinking to do next. So that's a wild card. But I think the only two realistic teams are the Cowboys and the Bucks. But again, mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to be traded. The only way that I see him being traded, again, I know I keep saying this, is that if a team is willing to give up an arm and a leg for him. And if I'm the Jets, not only do I want draft picks, but I want players who can play right now. I want players who could suit up tomorrow and help Sam Darnold. But I don't want garbage players. I want good starters who could help Darnold out now, not 3 years from now, not like an OBJ where you guys got that guy, what was his name, Jabril Peppers, who was like an up-and-coming player. I don't mm-hmm. want any of that. I don't want picks. I want players who are established players that are starters who can make a difference now. That's what I want back for Jamal Adams if I'm trading him. But again, I don't think Joe Douglas is doing it. And honestly, Nick, I think the Jets have all the leverage here. What do you think? Do you think Jamal has any leverage?
None whatsoever. I mean, when you have two years left in your contract, or three where they could tag you, you have like no leverage. So I don't understand when teams will cave in like that.
Exactly. And the only leverage he has is him just complaining on social media. That's literally the only thing he can do. He has no leverage here. The Jets have all the leverage in this situation. So I'm not looking to move him if I'm not getting an arm and a leg, let him sit out, let him hurt himself. Cause like we said, man, when has sitting out ever helped the player? Never really has.
Damn, Mark's spitting facts right now.
It's just annoying, man. Like, we've been through this time and time again, as a New York sports fan, like when is it going to end? Porzingis doesn't want to be here. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving don't want to play for the Knicks. You know, like, the Yankees haven't been able to get over the hump because they're going up against cheaters. The Rangers, the Islanders, I mean, I'm a Ranger fan, but, like, both teams just can't do it. Like, they can't win. The what else is there? I mean, the Giants too, man. OBJ. I mean, I'm not a Giants fan, but it doesn't hurt to have stars play in New York. And when stars don't want to come here, it just gets frustrating after a while, man. And in this particular instance, you can't blame the Jets for this. I'm sorry. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
You want to blame the Jets for the 2 years, for the 18 and 19 season with Jamal because they weren't good? Sure, that's fine. But you can't blame Joe Douglas, man. He has done nothing wrong. Every move, he's aced the draft. He aced the free agency. There's, like, what much more could you ask the guy to do? Like, this is not on Joe Douglas. This is not on the New York Jets organization. I'm sorry, man. Jamal Adams looks like a baby. Looks like a diva in this situation. No one's going to change my mind about that. And yeah. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve his money. I'm not saying he's not a great football player. He definitely does more than just play safety on the defensive side of the ball. But at the end of the day, safety is just not one of the most important positions. I'm sorry. What can you do? I'm sorry, man. I get he can't score touchdowns. I get he can't throw himself the ball. I get all that. But the Jets lost with you. I'm more than welcome to start losing without you. Because, again, if I'm going to make you the highest paid player on my team, if I'm going to make you the captain of my team, you want to be the highest paid player in your position, you got to be a leader. You can't run to social media when things don't go your way. You can't run to the media when things don't go your way. And you can't complain and cry when things don't go your way. You want to be the highest paid, you've got to be a good leader in the locker room. You've got to be a good leader and represent the organization in a positive way to the media. And you cannot act up the way he's been acting up. He's already talking as if he's not on the team anymore. Come on, man. Sorry. This is just – it's frustrating to me, especially as a Jets fan, because he's a great talent. I'd love to have him here long term, but he's done nothing but prove that he is not a leader so far, even dating back to 2018.
You already brought your Adams jersey at Goodwill?
I never bought an Adams jersey, to be honest with you. I always went for the Darnold because, you know, I could have bought Bell. I could have got Adams. But the way I look at it is that Darnold's going to be here for the long term, hopefully. You know, hopefully health stays up.
He's not going to end up on the clearance rack anytime soon?
No, I think he's going to be a keeper long term. And unfortunately, running backs, safeties, those people come and go, man. But quarterbacks, if they're good, obviously, they're here for the long run.
Yeah, like my boy Daniel Jones, that's a go right there.
His jersey will end up on the clearance rack soon. Don't you worry.
It's kind of crazy. Don't be saying that. I already bought 4 different versions. Home Away, oh, Color Rush, Vintage. I got all of them.
You definitely did, man. You even pre-ordered the concept for the new jerseys coming out whenever that happens. You already pre-ordered the Jones concept jersey.
Super heat. I'll get you one too. I know you want one.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll get you a Jones and a Saquon.
But, you know, Saquon's going to be interesting, man. When it's his time, let's see what route he takes. Is he going to take the Christian McCaffrey route and, you know, do everything the right way? Or is he going to go the OBJ way? Is he going to go the Jamal Adams way? It's going to be interesting, man, because he's better than Christian McCaffrey. You could argue that. So
I will argue that. He's a real girl right there. I could already tell. He's going to be the McCaffrey.
But we shall see. Time will tell. But with the Jets thing, man, Jamal Adams is in the wrong here. The Jets have done nothing wrong here. So that's what I'm going to end it with that, man. You know, the Jets – keep doing you, man. Jamal Adams has no leverage here. You have all the leverage. Joe Douglas, if you're watching this, and I know you're not, but if you're watching this.
He is, I believe.
If you're watching this, Joe, you do not need to cave. Do not cave and give in. You have all the leverage here. You have 2 more years of control. You obviously know all this information, Joe. You have 2 more years of control, and you can tag him for the 3rd year. Do not give in to this guy.
Sorry, he's on his burner. I could see it now.
I can't wait to see what the next thing Jamal complains about on social media, man. But
I'm ready.
We shall see.
Something else.
Do you have any closing comments?
Jamal Adams, bum. Landon Collins 2.0. Those are my final comments right there.
Very, very strong words there.
Bum, but you can have them.
But thank you all for listening. We're going to try to do this more often. We're going to try to do some more Zoom calls. We'll still be available on Apple Podcasts as well as YouTube. So now I got to create the YouTube channel and get this going. This is the very first episode of the rebranded MNN Sports Talk podcast. Like us on Facebook. Yeah. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on IG. And please, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. All that info will be available on our Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And once I get this YouTube running, it'll be available on there too. But thank you all for listening. Nick, have a great day. Stay safe. Obviously, if you don't know, Nick's a nurse. He's been working in the front lines with the COVID stuff going on. So we appreciate everything you're doing, Nick. Stay safe, stay healthy, and wish your family all the best.
You too, man.